iTunes Match expands. iTunes Mastered reviewed. Skype fails yet again. Microbooks and Verizon expands their prepaid plans. It's Tuesday, May 1st, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chapton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good warm morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. April has come and gone, and May is here. To kick off the show today is some general Apple news. To begin is Apple expanding iTunes Match to Austria, Greece, and Italy. The expansion was done without any press release. It's covered by users that live in those mentioned countries, so there's no telling how many more countries may have gotten iTunes Match over the night. Not much more to say here, except congratulations to those that now have iTunes Match. Another iTunes news is Ars Technica doing a little review and study of iTunes Mastered and see if it really sounds better. According to the site, we enlisted Chicago Mastering Service engineers Jason Ward and Bob Weston to help us out, both of whom were skeptical that any knob tweaking could result in better iTunes listening experiences. We came away from the process really blown away. We came from this process learning that it is absolutely possible to improve the quality of compressed iTunes Plus tracks with a little bit of work. That Apple's improved compression process does result in better sound. As mentioned earlier in the year, this is me talking here, I did listen to The Love Supreme by John Coltrane in the iTunes Mastered version, and it sounds great. It sounds much better than the version I bought before that, and it's a very cool thing that Apple's able to do this kind of magic with music, and I can't wait to see how it moves forward, how more and more record labels adapt this kind of technology into their releases for iTunes. Last up today, in general Apple news, is Apple emailing developers about Gatekeeper and the developer ID that is launching with Mountain Lion. I received this email as I have a free developer account, not a paid one. So here's, according to the email, some text from it. The Mac App Store is the safest place for users to get software for their Mac, but we also want to protect users when they get applications from other places. Gatekeeper is a new feature in OS X Mountain Lion that helps protect users from downloading and installing malicious software. Signing your apps, plugins, and installer packages with developer ID certificates lets Gatekeeper verify that they are not known malware and have not been tampered with. So that's the email. They're basically encouraging developers to get set up with developer ID and Gatekeeper, which will enable them to protect their users that aren't using the Mac App Store. I personally would love to see every app distributed through the Mac App Store, as it's just an easier and more elegant solution, but there will always be a need for content outside of that App Store for things that just don't fit with the terms of what the App Store needs to do. So I'm excited for Gatekeeper and hope more and more developers can get their apps updated for it. Now on to some actual app news. Is first up Skype, a terrible update that I'm really sad to see happened. So according to the release notes, version 4.0 includes the ability to move your own video preview when you're on your iPad, so you can move your preview around. The app auto restarts if unexpected shutdown happens, improved accessibility, improved stability, new sign-in screen, other minor UI improvements, and bug fixes. So first thing here is I would not call this a 4.0. What about this is major? Nothing here is major. As mentioned in this before this update is a terrible update. The minor UI improvements that they say are minor are actually deprovements. The app is uglier to use, harder on the eyes to look at, and I use Skype as my main phone these days, and I'm really sad to see this app get harder to look at each day. It really hurts my eyes. The way the new app is designed, especially towards the top, where it just there's no break between your app and the menu bar up top. It just blends together, and it's really, really ugly. So the update is out now and in the App Store and available if you want to download it. Next up in app news is a milestone for Angry Birds Space Edition. According to the Cult of Android Rovio, announced Angry Birds Space has broken all previous records and surpassed 50 million downloads in just 35 days, making it one of the fastest growing mobile games of all time. Over on their blog, the Rovio blog, they're celebrating this milestone and extending their deepest gratitude to Angry Birds fans around the globe. They also share, there's only one conclusion to draw. Something even bigger is on its way. Stay tuned and keep flinging those birds. So there you go, another hit from the Angry Birds team. I wonder how much longer this Angry Birds success story can last. Last up in app news is bird related as well. It's an update to Tweetbot. So what's new in version 2.3? The new app has Tweet Detail View with inline conversations and replies, a new gesture in Tweet Detail to get back to your timeline quickly, a new conversation view that now contains both the conversation and replies, the ability to email conversations or post a link to them through Storify, and it has drop IR support. Tweaked things within the app include video thumbnails now have a play icon to differentiate it from images. Timeline sync bookmark icon is now an optional setting. Reorganized tweet drawer. They've added thumbnail support for Vimeo links. They have higher res image uploads when you're on Wi-Fi. You're able to hold down the compose tweet button to quickly open up the last draft, which is a pretty cool thing they've added. They have support for stock links and improved email format when sending tweets, DMs, or conversations as an email. It's also localized for Arabic. So as you can see, lots of great things were added, but sadly my feature that I want is you'll just swipe something and instantly email it to an account that I set up. That's not there yet, and I hope it gets there one day. I should probably email them to request that feature. You can get Tweetbot in the App Store today. Out of that news and into the single competitor story of the day. The big news here is Microsoft and Barnes & Noble announcing the formation of a new Barnes & Noble subsidiary focused on the existing Nook digital e-reader and the e-book business, as well as Barnes & Noble's college business. Microsoft will make a $300 million investment in this subsidiary, which is preliminarily being called NewCo. So they're calling this little business NewCo, which I think is a bit odd. But anyways, they will choose an official name later on. Microsoft will receive a 17.6% ownership in this business. So Microsoft is expanding now to Barnes & Noble. They also have a stake in Facebook. So Microsoft seems to be having their hands in all sorts of different businesses, which is an interesting thing. According to the release notes, the press release, one of the first benefits for customers will be Nook application for Windows 8, which will extend the reach of Barnes & Noble digital bookstore by providing one of the largest digital catalogs of ebooks, magazines, and newspapers to hundreds of millions of Windows customers in the U.S. and internationally. The inclusion of Barnes & Noble college business is an important component of NewCo's strategic vision. Through the newly formulated business, Barnes & Noble industry-leading Nook study software will provide students and educators the preeminent technology platform for the distribution and management of digital educational materials in the market. That's a mouthful, but basically they're going to do a lot in the education market. So that is the news. The news came to a shocker by me. My biggest question is what happens when the old brick-and-mortar paper book business dies off, as it eventually will. The Nook seemed like Barnes & Noble's solution for the future as subsidiary. I'm not sure how that impacts the regular business. If the brick-and-mortar business dies off, I'm just not sure how it all relates. So my question is, will this spinoff negatively affect the future-proofing the Nook provides for Barnes & Noble? I don't think it does, but it could have that side effect. So only time will tell what really happens here. In the one mobile phone story news of the day is Verizon, now offering an $80 prepaid plan that offers unlimited calling, texting, and 1 gigabyte of data. Pretty solid plan for those that want this type of service. There are a few catches here. You'll need to use a Samsung Illusion that costs $170 to use with this plan, so you can't use any old phone. You'll be limited to 3G data speeds, and as I said, you can't use an iPhone with this. A good start from Verizon, but finish it off by letting customers choose whatever phone they want. Perhaps you limit it to 3G speeds if you do that, but you know, let us choose the device, and we'll choose the plan. Verizon is also offering a prepaid LTE mobile hotspot with three different prepaid mobile plans. $15 gets you 250 megs of data for usage within a single week, which is kind of lame when you consider the iPad does that over a course of a month. $60 gets you 3 gigabytes of data, which is very lame as well as the AT&T T iPad gives you $30 for 3 gigabytes of data, which is LTE as well, so double priced there. And $90 a month gives you 10 gigabytes of data, which is equally a ripoff as well. So there you go. These are the deathly expensive data plans Verizon is passing off if you want to be a prepaid customer. They start today, May 1st. Closing out the show today are a few odd and end stories. First up is B&H promoting LaCie's two big Thunderbolt series hard drives with a free Thunderbolt cable. The two big models included in the promotion are the 4-terabyte system at $569 and the 6-terabyte system at $714. Thunderbolt cables retail for $49, so the savings here are not insignificant. If you're in the market for a high-end storage solution from LaCie, give B&H a visit. Last of the day is a new court ruling that will block UK ISPs from going to the Pirate Bay. Or should I say, it'll block people using those ISPs from going to the Pirate Bay. So the Pirate Bay is being blocked in the UK. There's no word yet on when the block will start or if there will be an appeal here. It's pretty sad news because censoring the web is generally not a good thing. And yeah, I'm not a fan of this. So hopefully this gets killed off before it actually starts. Sorry to leave you guys on a bad note, but that's the news of the day. That's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like this show, and I hope you do, please head on over to iTunes to leave a review of the show. It's been a long time, very long time since I've seen any new reviews there on iTunes. So if you are one of those people that hasn't done that yet, head on over to iTunes. Search for iWake. You know, spend, you know, the 2 minutes and write a review. Let me know, Just share your thoughts about iWake, why you like to listen to every morning on iTunes. So iTunes, search for iWake and leave a review. Also, head on over to youtube.com/TCHATEN to view my videos. iWake is now a video podcast as well as many other things I produce. Also, head on over to my new website, applepredictions.com, if you want to stay up to date with what my thoughts are as to the future of Apple. So, those are the final words for the day. I'll join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Have a great, great day and an awesome May month that we're heading into. I'll talk to you guys again real soon. Aloha.